The topic I'm going to share with you is a bit serious. Why to deal with that? But this is the topic that we have to face everybody. So today I would like to share this passage with you. Before we start, could I ask you to read together for this passage? Genesis 3:1-6. Let's go. Now the serpent. And you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows death. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, thank you for getting us brothers and sisters who worship you, and may your Spirit speak to our hearts. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. These are my parents. My parents passed away just last year, both. So what I'm going to share with you today is twofold. One is about the testimony about them. And also at the same time, we'd like to ponder a very serious issue. Why do people die? I'm going to break down into four parts. Biblical teaching, my parents' testimony, how to care for the sick, and hope of resurrection. Why do people fear death? Why are we afraid of dying? Perhaps we are missing this world. There's something that we treasure in this world, and one day we have to depart from this world. Second, especially in this world, we have some loved ones. We don't want to leave them. So when we die, we'll be separate from them. The third one, we're scared that when we're dying, it will be very painful. Facing death is very painful. And last but not least, you are not sure where you die, where will you go? Throughout history, many philosophers, many religious founders try to solve this problem. Why do people die? For example, the founder of Buddhism, he was a prince. When he stepped out of the palace, and one day he saw people was given birth, and they sick, and they die. How come that everybody has to face this fate, that people have to die? So many philosophers and religious founders try to solve this problem. How about the Bible? What does the Bible teach on this? Earlier we just read the message. You will not certainly die. The serpent tried to tempt Eve, saying that, don't listen to God. God said, you will die. You will not certainly die. So what happened? The woman fell into his trap, and then she ate. And her husband had him also ate. Did they die? I pray not. They did not die. They did not die right away. So, did God deceive them? Did God fool them? Did God lie? When the God said, you certainly die, but they did not die after eating the fruit. So what does it mean? I think this double meaning of this word death. Death, I think, you can separate into spiritual death and physical death. Spiritual death is that you're separated from your Creator. You're separated from God. At the moment when we sin, we already separate from God. So surely God did not deceive us. We actually die. Once we sin, we have this separation from God. And from separation from God, naturally your body will decay. Because when God made us, He's supposed to live with us. And through Him, in us, then we get the nutrients, all this energy, all this, the energy of life, the hope of life. Now that we are separate from this Creator, just on our own, so this body will certainly die in one day. And more importantly, our sinful nature will be a foothold for Satan. Satan will use our sinful body to tempt us to have all these evil desires, and we abuse our body, and this body will decay. So spiritual death bring to physical death. I like to use one example, just like a Christmas tree. Christmas tree was very, it's very beautiful. Christmas is around the corner now, so people buy Christmas trees. When they got the Christmas trees from the farm, they chop it off and bring it into the place. And then people buy it at their house and decorate it. It's very pretty. But you know that in 1 or 2 months, it will certainly die. Because it's already separate from the roots. From spiritual death, it will come bodily death, physical death. So every one of us, no matter how old you are, how young you are, one day you will die. Can we ask you to read 18 to 19? Let's go. Ariel Produce. When people sin, already we separate from God, so life is very different now. Because of the spiritual death, we suffer from this life. There will be a lot of toil, a lot of toil, a lot of suffering. So Adam has to suffer. He has to plow the hill, field very diligently, and not just wife. And more importantly, he's facing death one day. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Both the physical death and the spiritual death. My parents. These are my parents. I've been praying for my parents for many years, and in fact, every summertime when I went back to visit them, very early on, I pray and I guide them, and they pray to accept Christ. So they help, they follow me to pray to accept Christ many years ago. However, I did not see the sign. I did not see the sign of real salvation, because still in our house there's still ancestral worship. It's one place where it's the worship. And whenever I ask them to go to church with me, they have a lot of excuses they didn't want to go. And also I can see that they do not see the joy. A lot of times when I ask them, they said, "Oh, you don't understand, because your brother, my elder brother, who was taking care of them because I'm away, believe in Buddhism." He says, we cannot do that, because once if we say that we're Christians, then maybe your elder brother will not take care of us. So death is here. So although they pray to accept Christ, but I do not see the signs of salvation in them. So over the last few years, when they go back home, every time when they get weaker and weaker, the complaints get stronger and stronger. Because the body is weak, they have a lot of inconvenience, a lot of pain. And then my elder brother could not be around all the time. So whenever I go back to Hong Kong in the summertime, this is complaining. Every day. And I see in their face, there's no real joy. Then I say, what is life about? They worry about their death. They worry about their pain. They worry about their sickness. They would like to prolong their life. But what kind of life is it? Every day is just complaining, grumbling. There's no joy. My elder brother worship Buddhism. So they're scared. So they're afraid that if they become the Christians, may my elder brother will not take care of them. So, after I returned from Hong Kong, I have this prayer. I said, God, let's notice the stretched life. If you're not living a good life, why do you stretch life? You're just living a very miserable life. You just prolong your suffering. So there's no need to prolong my parents' life. Just give them a natural. After all, they're only 90 years old. They live a long life, 90 years old. That may be quite enough already. So God, there's no need to prolong the life. There's one thing I want to make sure that before they really die, they really get saved. And also at the same time, I hope that before their death, after they accept Christ and before that, they really on this earth, really enjoy the joy of accepting Christ. So I have these three prayer items to God. I prayed a lot. Last summer, I went back to Hong Kong. Not this summer, it's the summer of 2015. I went back to Hong Kong again, and my time my father was very thin. So Shirley remind me, when someone suddenly got very thin, there may be something wrong with the body. So that's better to let him go and check up. So indeed, we took him to go to see the doctor, and surely they found that he has stomach cancer. So we asked him whether he would like to go through the operation surgery. And he said, I'm already 90 years old. And you don't know during the operation when anything unexpected happens. And also can be very painful. So that's why he decided, I do not plan to go through the surgery operation. So we checked him in the hospital. And took him to the hospital near our house. And then at that time, during the hospital, when he was under examination, I talked to him. In fact, I talked to him in front of my brother. Before that, I asked my brother, do you mind if dad becomes a Christian? He said, no, I don't mind at all. He believed his, I believe mine. But my dad was very scared because he did not believe what I said. So in the hospital, in front of my brother, I asked my brother, in front of my brother, I asked my dad. And also, in front of my dad, I asked my brother, do you mind if dad becomes a Christian? And my elder brother declared very clearly, no, I don't mind. So, very awfully, very clearly, he said, I don't mind. So, when he got home, after being discharged by hospital without doing anything, he stayed at home, and I shared the gospel once again with him. I said, elder brother, don't mind that you come to Christ. So, are you willing? Really willing? He said, yes. So, he kneeled down. And my mother also did the same. So in July, when I returned, and in early August, my niece, she is a Christian, she asked her pastor to come and baptize both of my parents. And surely, his body got weaker and weaker. Initially, he was checked into a nursing home because he fell down on the ground during bath time. It was very hard to take care of him anymore, so we took him to the nursing home. And the nursing home is okay for a while, but suddenly one day, it seems that suddenly he could not control his bowel movement, and a lot of things came out from his body. It's very dirty. So the nursing home people say that it's not a good time, it's not enough of a time. You better take him to the hospital. So he took him to the hospital and had some care there. And my sister and myself are asked to go back to Hong Kong to see him. So before I departed, I especially Google when people are facing death, because I know my dad is going to die. When the people are facing death, how we care for them? Care for the sick. The first symptom of people who are dying is that a lot of times they lose control of the bowel movement. Sometimes it's very difficult for them to go to toilets. Sometimes if all these things accumulate, then suddenly it explodes. So suddenly a lot of things came out from the body. It's very smelly, really dirty, very nasty. They lose control. They lose control of the bowel movement. The bladder and bowel, okay. When you go to the hospital, when you see them, a lot of people make the mistake because they're seeing this thick, thin patients so thin. They really want them to eat more to strengthen their body. But actually, there's no need to do that. Don't force food on them. Because their organs actually are shutting down now. So you don't need to feed a lot of food to them. In fact, if you force a lot of food, sometimes they choke. They're not digesting very well. So instead of having food, usually people feed them with liquid or something like nutrients. My brother, for example, sometimes he bought some in Hong Kong, some kind of small bean curds, liquid bean curds, and then let my mother swallow them. It's tasty. So remember, when you take care of the sick, especially those people who are dying, don't force food on them. Just let them taste. If they like, let them eat. If they don't like, that's okay. Give them a lot of liquid, and sometimes it's dry, sometimes some ointment to touch their lips, to let them feel better. A lot of sometimes a lot of mucus can. So help them, because otherwise they get stuck here, very uncomfortable. So help them get the mucus out of the throat. The third one, as the body is kind of shutting down, the body temperature is not very regular. So you make sure that they feel warm. At the same time, but you do not put a whole blanket upon him, because his body is different. His body, his legs and his arms being away is very cold. So make sure it's well covered. But in the inner part, the middle part, don't cover too much. It's too warm. Sometimes they even have a fever. So make sure to ask them, what's the best way to help you? Which part you feel cold, cover that part. But don't feel too much, otherwise you feel too warm. Make sure it's warm. And when you visit them in the hospital, you find that they usually close their eyes. Actually, they're listening. So there's no necessity that every time you have to wake him or her up, and kind of just talk to them a lot. There's no necessity. When you visit a dying patient, the best way to do it is just going with the flow. They're resting, just sit by. When they open their eyes, you identify yourself. Oh, I am Chuck. Sometimes they don't recognize you, okay? So, just identify yourself, hold their hands. Let them feel the warmth of relatives. And then when they want to rest, close their eyes, just sit by. Maybe bring a book, bring an iPad with you. Just read. Just accompany them. That company actually comfort them a lot. You don't have to keep them engaged every moment and have to talk to you. This is not necessary. Because they are now passing from this world, getting ready to go to another world. So a lot of time they will spend closing their eyes. They are resting. They do not have a lot of energy. They have to try very hard. For some of my dad, when he tried to speak, he had to gather a lot of energy in order to speak. So let them flow. Let them tell what they want to do and comfort them. Tell them stories, for example. This is what I do. Because a long time ago, I teach about, tell my about parents about this program's progress story. And I said, Dad, now you're reaching the last stage. You have to cross the river of death. And on the other side, the angel is waiting for you. And I'm going to try to help carry you with my prayer. Now, it may not be easy crossing the river there. You have to struggle through the river. But once you go through there, it will be wonderful. So I keep telling him the story to encourage him. Now, don't speak something in front of him if you don't want him to hear. Although he closed his eyes, actually listen. So if you have some secret you don't want him to know, don't tell it in front of him. Their ear is actually really sharp. It's just they're closing eyes to rest, but their ear is really sharp. For example, when the children go to visit him, he just closed his eyes. When the grandchildren came, suddenly his eyes opened. You know what's going on? This is worth. You think it's worth talking now? So he opened his eyes and is talking. He's actually accumulating his energy and try to communicate whenever he feels like. So
So you can see when the grandkids came, it's open the knife and start talking a lot. When we are beside, they just close the knife and we comfort them.
A lot of sick people will tell you they will start seeing a lot of visions, hallucinations. My dad said he heard somebody in a room, he heard a lot of people. When my mother died, she also said, I saw a young couple walking by around the dead. This is not uncommon. If you remember, with a sister here, she was a Wing. She actually told us, Wing, remember Wing? She was a nurse participant. She said, it's very common to dying people. Do you see something? Do you see something going around them? Again, they are passing from this world, going to another. They can see a lot of things that you don't see. That happens. The spiritual realm happens. It's really there. And now they're passing from this world to another world. They start seeing something. Good. You try to comfort them with touch. And most important now is that you let them go easily, gradually. So if there's some grudges in his heart, in her heart, or something that's not yet finished yet, try to help them finish this business, so that when they go, they'll grow very smoothly without any regrets. Your task as children or relatives is to make sure his path is smooth and comfortable. And when they about to die, you can see the skin of the body start changing. Usually turn very young. And then they start making some sound in the throat. They will call death rattle. Sometimes. They will not breathe maybe for quite a few seconds, and suddenly they breathe very quickly. And you can see different symptoms when they're dying. So death rattle. So they have this sound, and the face, the body start turning in color. And then they pass away. And when they pass away, don't hold on to the body. It's important. Let go. When my mother died, when my father died, my sister and also my niece were with her by the bedside. So they miss him, so they hold on. They held on my father's hand. But later on they find that they start feeling very uncomfortable. And that uncomfortable feeling lasts for 2 months. The Bible said, don't touch dead bodies. There's something there. We don't know what's going on. But don't touch dead bodies. Something's going on. So when they really pass away, let them. I told my father's story about this pilgrim story, then they cross the river of death, and on the other side, there will be an angel waiting for you. I tried to comfort them. And there are a lot of encouraging signs. For example, although he's dying of stomach cancer, he doesn't feel pain. Cancer patients complain a lot of pain. But actually, he did not need any pain medicine. He said, I do not feel pain. Secondly, it's very calm. My dad actually is very weak. He's usually very scared of death. He actually complained of a pain in his life. But really interesting, during his time here, he became very calm. In fact, he conquered people who visited him. He said, don't worry. I'm feeling all right. I'm not feeling pain. Don't worry. So actually, he's comforting people who visit. And he mentioned that, and sometimes he sees people reading the Bible to him. Not real people. So all these signs are very encouraging to us. That God answered my prayer. He's dying, he really received Christ, he's enjoyed the little moments of joy and peace of being the children of God while his still body is still alive on this earth. Why do people die? Can I ask you to read it again, please? And the Lord
When I first read this passage, I think God is pretty mean. After we sin, all things are shut down. Initially, we could eat the fruit of life, right? The tree of fruit of life. Now, after they sin, they shut it out. No, don't eat. And then kick them out. So, was God very mean? That because we sin, then we have some good things that God will withhold and not giving us? Is this the reason why He did not allow us to live? To eat this tree of life? The fruit of tree of life? No. Do you know in future we can eat the tree of life again? The fruit of tree of life again? When? According to the Bible, when we can eat the fruit of tree of life again? It's in heaven. There will be tree of life waiting for us. So why did God not allow us this? There's a reason. Because if you eat that, your body will live forever. And that body you have is a sinful body. That means you will have eternal separation from God. Death actually means something good to us. That one day you can depart from this decayed body and have reunion with God. Death is a blessing. Although death is not something that you embrace, but death is a natural process for this decaying body, sinful body, to pass away so they can be embraced once again. Totally in the presence of God. Let's read Paul's passage, Corinthians chapter 15:15. Let's go. I declare to you, the perishable cannot inherit imperishable. Go on. So, so why do people die? Because God will want us to bless us with death. Because unless this decayed little body perishes away, there will be no new body for you. Then your communion with God will be incomplete. God wants to have total presence with you. So you must die. Understand that Paul said, I decide to depart before with Christ. This is wonderful. It's better by far. With this understand, what's the attitude to death? There's no need to fear. Although it's not comfortable, there's no need to fear. And also, you have eternal hope that one day I'll see my parents in heaven. For real, it's not just a dream. One day you'll see. Actually, it's not the old them. It's the prime self. Will be a wonderful body, not that kind of old people. Wrinkled faces will be very handsome, very pretty. Everybody's so pretty. So look forward to that. So as you are aging, you don't like this face in your body? Look forward to that. You have a new body in future. Look forward to that. And also, when you live and believe in that, that also influences the way you live today. What kind of life you want to be there? Then you better live a good life. This is my parents when they are in the prime time. One Corinthian sign is that one day, one of our relatives, he's also a Christian. He said, when he went to church, attending his worship service, when he prayed, here's a vision. He was not dreaming. He had a vision. He had a vision of seeing my parents in heaven. Already young. And my dad said, don't complain too much. Holding my mother, don't complain. So my mother likes to complain. It's not a dream. It's a vision. So hearing the news, I was very glad.
Thanksgiving is around the corner next week. One of the basic items I can give thanks to over last year is that God listened to my prayer. That the life of my parents will not just linger on just for the sake of living long life, but a miserable life. And also, they received Christ very clearly. And also, before they die, they enjoy the moment with Christ. And now, every now and then, I think of my parents. And then there's just no regret. I pray to God, thank you, God. And also pray to one of my parents. Hey, you are there. Pray for me sometime. I'll see you sometime. There is no regret. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God. Thank you for having us worship here together. And pray that we will live this life positively. When our parents are old, relatives are passing away, give us strength. Give us wisdom how to care for them. And also give them and give ourselves eternal hope. The one day we'll see one another again in our prime lives. And also, the way that we look forward to that also affect how we live today. We thank you. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.